Hey, everybody. This is Patrick Sweeney, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, this is Shane with the Rock Paper Podcast. I'm up here at the bridge in Columbia, Missouri, hanging out with my good friend Patrick Sweeney.
Hey, hey.
Patrick just came out with a brand new album, Close to the Floor, a little while back, and going to play some songs from that tonight here at the show. You want to tell us anything about the
album? Well, it's our fourth album for Nine Mile Records, fourth release for them, but they've also, it's my sixth album. Six albums, God, time flies. I think it's our best record, man.
Yeah.
It was all recorded to analog tape, 2-inch tape, in East Nashville, at Wow and Flutter Studios, and produced by Joe McMahon, who I'd worked with previously on the album Old Southern Drag, the album before this. It's a really personal album, you know. I mean, they're all personal because, you know, like, it's like all the songs, you know, for Patrick Sweeney music, you know, they're all true stories,
yeah.
You know, it's my life. You know, this one is dealing a great deal with the death of two family members, of my wife's family, and sort of the aftermath and dealing with that, and also leading up to it, both of them very unexpected and very, you know, equally, I mean, for lack of a better term, tragic, and also just as being, you know, existing in this world as a working musician and doing what I do and continuing to do it and having the impetus and the, you know, financial wherewithal to continue doing it. You know, it deals with that a lot as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess if you go song by song, that's, you know, it's pretty easy to figure out what's going on,
yeah.
You know, but I like to think that the songs are, you know, something people can relate to. They're not so, you know, I mean, obviously, being, you know, in our modern world, none of these stories are very unique stories,
yeah.
You know, for better or for worse, but, you know, I definitely, you know, I don't think it's a sad sack record, you
right.
know, I think, you know, there's some underlying positivity. It's important to me that, you know, you kind of got to keep on pushing,
sure.
You know.
Yeah. So you just put out the video for Every Night, Every Day, and
yeah.
You also did one for Working For You. Those are, I love them, man. They're great.
Oh, thanks. Videos, it's a new form for us, but
yeah.
I really enjoyed it. You know, it's an interesting medium that, you know, this is something I never would have thought
yeah.
you would do, and now it's an essential part of the music business.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much out there, I mean, with YouTube now, and like how so many people get so much exposure just through that, you know, spreading that video around, and how much that can really mm-hmm. build an artist and with modern technology.
It really is, and you know, that's sort of like we're talking about technology, is that, you know, a lot of the reason that I'm still here is because of a really odd connection, because of the phenomenon of Pandora Radio being,
yeah.
you know, making the song Them Shoes kind of a internet radio hit, and generated a lot of plays due to our association with the Black Keys. And, that is, I mean, for those of your listeners that don't know, Dan Arbach, the guitar player and singer of the Black Keys, was in my band for about a year back in the early 2000s when he started the Black Keys. And we were friends at the time, and you know, we're into the same kinds of music, people like Hound Dog Taylor and things like that. When he started the Keys and left my band, he built a studio in Akron, and where I lived in Ohio at the time, and he recorded our album back in, it was in 2006. The album came out in 2007, and in 2012, 5 years after the album's been here and gone, and right. you know, you think is as dead as the dodo, that we started seeing this massive influx of downloads and web activity from the phenomenon of Pandora Radio. The algorithm sort of picked us up and associated our song Them Sues with the Black Keys channel, which was then the algorithm picked it up and attached it to the Jack White channel and the White Stripes and the Kills and all these rock bands, sort right. of these, and it basically it generated over 2 million plays in a year on there. So it definitely was a more advertising than I could ever have hoped.
Yeah.
And that also caused a huge, a great amount of downloads of that song. And that song, Them Shoes, outsells the entire rest of the catalog, 6 albums, outsells them all combined by 2,000%.
Huh.
So technology, I'll embrace it, man.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
So people are mainly just getting a single on iTunes and not grabbing like the whole albums, or
obviously the single sales are are the most
sure.
prevalent, and but no, actually it's helped the albums, but you know a lot of modern listeners don't buy albums anymore. I make albums though. I that is the way I write music, and that is the way I want that music presented.
Yeah.
And whether it's fashionable or not is it's a medium. You know, it's a cohesive piece, and it has whether you think about it or not, all these songs written at a certain time all relate to each other. It just happens this album is, these stories are all very, very close together and very, dealing with a lot of the same things in different light, little different approaches. And I grew up listening to albums, so.
Yeah.
I like to think of things in terms of a side A and a side B.
For sure.
It just makes it easier to organize, at least mentally for me, just on a pure nuts and bolts and wrenches kind of level of things, of recording, an entity that will become an album or the amount of some collection of songs that will become an album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same. Like, when I buy a record, I want to listen to it beginning to end, It's like each song is a chapter. I mean, you wouldn't just pick the middle of a book and start. And for me, that's how
right.
I like. I want to listen to it, the whole thing, hear the whole story, and enjoy the whole thing as a.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting phenomenon. Where people like it's not necessarily a linear. When you put an album, though, it's not a linear story because you're also dealing with music and pacing and things like that.
Sure.
So it's not. It's definitely not chronological.
Yeah.
But it's odd though that the listener attaches himself to a thing, and I think it's great. I do it when I listen to things. You think this is sort of a, because it is it's a collected, arranged piece of music or piece of art, and then it ebbs and flows into each other. So your human nature is to attach that this is the chronology of things, and it's. I just think that's just I don't know. I'm a nerd though, I just think it's interesting,
So did Dan, you mentioned Dan? Did he record on any of those records with you?
I think he sang. He might have sang some background vocals and played some percussion stuff on Every Hour.
Okay.
The album before that, he produced 2 tracks. That was an album called Come On, Come Here.
Yeah.
That was my first release with 9 Mile Records, and he produced 2 tracks and sang harmonies on 1 track.
Okay.
But back. When Henry Ford Bedroom came out, which was I released that independently, and we reissued it through 9 Mile, but now it's almost out of print. I believe Dan plays second guitar on 1 track.
Cool.
I think. I have to look.
Yeah, all right. I remember. I remember him. Being associated with it, you guys both coming up through Ohio. And then now both living in Nashville.
I moved there first.
Right.
And I'm older, so I played it first.
You got any plans to do another video or anything else coming up?
Right now, we've basically been on the road nonstop since the end of actually the mid-beginning of February.
Right.
There's only been one or two times this entire year, you know, and here we are closing in on the end of summer.
Yeah.
Where there's been more than a week or two off in a row. So that hasn't, as of yet, no.
Yeah.
I mean, but that can always change.
Sure.
You know, that's you know. But really, I've really got, you know, I've got to get, for lack of a better term, get my shit together, and I got to start writing the next album.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, I have little voice notes and things, you know, thank God for the cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, again, another technological advance that's done nothing but help me out, because I can't tell you how many times back in the day where I've written stuff down and in a notebook and it's gotten coffee or something spilled on it, or you lose it at a gig or something like that, whereas, you know, you sing in your voice notes, and when your phone updates, man, it goes right to the cloud, you know, it's there, so.
That's kind of, you do something with every gun, that's
we thought that the director was going to, we were going to use every gun for the last one, but she liked the song so much, she's like, no, this is the one,
right.
This is the one, so, you know. And that was working with Laura Grable. That was, you know, she's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. And, man, I really enjoyed, you know, the first one we did. You know, definitely more.
Yeah, that was funny.
Acting involved on my part, but with Dave Shamban directing. And you know, that was really great, especially for a first experience. You know, really, I really enjoyed it. It was really a lot of fun. And, you know, you got to poke some fun at yourself.
Yeah, right.
It's always something to do.
So I've met you. I don't even remember how many years now. It's been a while, but we first met. You were opening for Paul Thorne.
Yeah.
At the old Rock House.
Yes, sir.
And that was a good time.
Oh yeah.
It was solo acoustic that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was. So who else have you've been on with Kadoof, Dusty, and
we did early in the spring, and a couple of European dates.
Yeah.
We did some dates with Tedeschi Trucks band, Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi, and that was amazing. They're the nicest people in the business, absolutely bar none. They treated us so nice and were so friendly, and we've got, you know, I have a friend that's in that band, and he didn't know I was on the show, so that was really nice to show up and say hi to Tyler. Tyler's the drummer. There's Tyler Greenwell and J.J. Johnson are the drummers. They have two drummers, and Tyler's an old friend. So that's really great. So to have that connection and just gotten to be kind of pals with some of the band and be on those shows. And, you know, they were really cool, man. They watched our show. They were, you know, they were supportive of us. They're just the nicest. They really are.
Right.
Really. Their whole crew, they're all just, you know, everybody on that crew, everyone on that in that band is a real person, man.
Yeah.
I really, and those helped us out a lot, you know, playing in front of, you know, their crowd, you know, that really decidedly helped us out draw on those territories in that area. So that's very important to us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so what else is coming up for the remainder of the year?
Well, Telluride Blues and Brews Fest, that's a big one for us.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest festival we're doing this summer. We're just finishing up a bunch of Midwest dates.
Yeah.
Like I said, here we're here in Columbia. We get to go home tomorrow, and we're off for about, I think, eight days, maybe less. I don't know, maybe more.
Right.
What's today? saying it's almost, it's not quite 2 weeks, but it's almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and that'll be good. Let's see, coming up after that, where we go up to, we're playing the Miles of Music Festival in Appleton, Wisconsin, with Corey Chisel, who's gotten to be, he curates that festival, and that's getting to be he's a really nice guy, really, he's moved to Nashville, we've got to play a show together, and actually sat in with him when he did his little Soul Obscura show at my little hangout on the east side, the Five Spot.
Right.
Did that, and got to sit in with him and sing a group tune with him.
I met him last year at the in St. Louis. They're doing, John Henry's putting together that Open Highway Music Festival.
Oh, right.
Corey was there with Nora Jones last year.
Oh, right on.
And that was a fantastic show.
Oh, cool. Nora, man.
So, yeah.
But I mean, lots more road work basically, right? Yeah. I mean, pretty much nonstop until, you know, till the end of October, November. But I mean, that's the job. You're supposed to go to your job all the time, you know. But we have to lay off in November because we've been everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, at least in the U.S. So we've got to create some demand. And we got to, you know, that's going to be writing time and.
So, but you're a newlywed still, right?
Oh well, no. Just celebrated our second anniversary already.
Still
fairly new. Fairly new.
You got any advice for me? Mine's coming up, and I did a 49 days now.
49 days, man. Yeah. I'm saying, communication.
Yeah.
You know, talk to each other.
Sure.
That's all I did, and, you know.
Does she ever come on the road with you?
Not a lot, but, you know, because my wife, she's a professional person.
Sure.
She's actually the general manager of one of the busiest honky-tonks in Nashville.
Wow.
On the corner of 5th and Broad, so, and also in charge of all the staffing of another honky-tonk across the street. Her place is called Rippy's, and the other place, the parent club is Tootsie's, which is the world's most famous honky-tonk.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
It's kind of neat to be able to hang out in this historic kind of club. And
nice.
It's, you know, crazy, man.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a crazy town.
People all over the world come there and come get wasted on Broadway, you know, and listen to music. So, it's a great place. No, it's great. I love it.
All right, well.
So,
We'll wrap this up, man.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for, sorry I have to do this so quick. There's just not enough hours in the day, you know?
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thank you very much,
Shane.
Yeah.
All right.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.